Open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and reading from verse 8. And I'll end our reading in verse 13. Second Timothy chapter number 2 and reading from verse 8 down to 13. This is the word of God. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, he will also live with us, with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I want to speak to us this morning, the sermon I've entitled, The Necessity to Remember. The Necessity to Remember. In verse 8, we find these words, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Remember. Now, generally, as creatures of God, we lavish our minds on memory. One of the fascinating things that I remember about my parents was they would sit and remember things that happened many years ago in details. And I keep wondering if we who are living today are given such a mind to remember things in details, because we have these devices called cell phones. Calculating maths, we have to have a calculator. But go to the old folks. They just punch numbers up there. They know how it works out. Paul is saying, remember Jesus Christ. And this we find that with remembering or memory, it has more to do with something that happened in the past, for the most part. And the scriptures has something to say in regards to that. Like the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 22 and verse 37, he speaks about loving the Lord our God. And there's something that he inserts in there. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With all your mind. Mark adds to that in verse 30 of chapter 12, with all your strength. So in our creatureliness, there is something in us that God has infused in us, especially if we know him, that we have to think, to meditate, to remember his kind dealings with us. We have to remember. We have that hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. We are remembering God's dealings with us. 30 sections in the scriptures have been attributed to man remembering something about God. And obviously there are multiple other sections where God remembers us. But those 30 sections are primarily focused on man to remember of the Lord God. I'll just cite some few to us. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. Then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Lest you forget. In other words, remember. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you all these 40 years. Remember. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. He says, remember, remember. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, remember the words of Jesus, our Lord. Remember. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24 and 25. Do this in remembrance. That is, when we carry out the Lord's Supper, in memory of me. I'll be doing you service if I did not remind the young people amidst us. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, the years draw near, in which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So, the list goes on and on and on. God putting an injunction on us to remember. Understand, in the U.S. there is a celebration, Memorial Day. You remember the accomplishments of those that have gone before you, before us. Remember. Maybe the question is, why is remembering so important? Because in that regard, we are basically saying, you need not to lose touch of your history. Hold on to it. Treasure it. Embrace it with everything in you. That's history. Well, someone said this with regard to history. Says history helps us understand people and the societies. That's what it does. History helps us to understand the change that has occurred over time. But also the lives that have been lived over time. History is important with regards to our lives. History contributes to the moral understanding. Either we are building on morality or the morality is decaying. When did it begin? History provides identity. History is very helpful in understanding the world. All in all, that's to say, we ought not to live like in a vacuum. There's something that defines who we are with regards to where we are coming from. And that which we have embraced and treasured will shape the future where we are headed. And I believe that's the reason why the Apostle Paul, in his wisdom, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, is reminding Timothy to embrace something of value in his life. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Now the question that would ask with regards Timothy, would he have forgotten Christ? Was there any possibility of him forgetting Christ? Because this entire second part of the writing of Timothy, of Paul to Timothy, the overriding idea is suffering. In 2 Timothy. So it appears like amidst suffering, it's very possible for Timothy to start doubting. It's very possible for Timothy to start questioning even the things that he has embraced over his life. Because when we look at 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, firstly, reminds Timothy of his sincere faith and from whom he has learned the truth, from his mother and his grandma, but also from the Apostle Paul. But we find that Timothy is also encouraged to realize that the work of ministry is one that demands for dedication, that demands for exertion of strength and energy, that he has to be like a soldier, that he has to be like an athlete, that he has to be like a farmer. There is an element of devotion and commitment to his ministry, to his calling. In chapter 1, we find Paul is reminding Timothy that he has to suffer as a servant of the Lord. So he has to be ready for whatever has to come his way. In chapter 2, he reminds him of the ministry that he has to undertake as the servant of the Lord. In chapter 3, he reminds him of the available resources that he has to use in his execution of ministry. All scriptures. That he has to preach the word in season and out of season. In chapter number 4, he reminds him of how he can prove to be a good and faithful servant of his master. But in all of these things, Timothy has to be very familiar with an undergirding idea of suffering. He has to suffer. He has to suffer. It's very possible when one suffers that he begins to question the legitimacy of his calling. It's very possible for one to begin to question, is God taking note of who I am? Oh, did I miss the calling altogether? A lot of questions might begin to flood his mind. The Apostle Paul sees it necessary to write this letter to Timothy because Paul is about to go, he's about to die. And Timothy is a little bit timid. And he has to remind him, even if I am taken away, there is one that will never leave your side. He's always there. He abides with you. He will provide all the necessary strength that you need. He's reminding him. His faith should not be based on the Apostle Paul, but on this Christ, his Savior. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. He says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. In other words, you'll not be able to process all these things and arrive at a concise conclusion. But look at what I've told you, that in the providence of God, He will provide understanding as time unfolds. And then following that is this statement, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. Three principles I want to bring to us to encourage our faith as we walk with our Lord. Firstly, I want us to consider the pronounced imperative or the pronounced command. He says, remember Jesus Christ. I want us to look at that word firstly, remember. What is it? What are the implications of a remembering? Well, the way the Apostle Paul puts this word across, it sounds as if it's a warning to Timothy. But it can also be looked at as a wake-up call to Timothy. It can also be looked at as a reminder to Timothy to value what he has learned over the years concerning a particular person called Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy that he might not so easily forget. He wants Timothy to keep the message concerning Christ at the forefront of his mind. In other words, in whatever things that he does, he should never, ever forget Christ. That's what Paul wants Timothy to embrace. Now, this command itself, remember, it is a present tense. It is to cause to be mindful of something. It is to call to mind or to recall the information. Now we have the direct object right in our forefront. Remember Jesus Christ. So he's saying remember everything, if at all things concerning Christ. By saying remember Jesus Christ, Paul is saying of all things that you have valued in your life, let Jesus be primary. Let him be the overriding idea. Remember Jesus Christ. Even if you begin to lose your memory, remember Jesus Christ. Never forget him. Even if you are placed on all the sides, even if you are questioned concerning what you believed, even if you feel like at the point of doubting, do not, because remember Jesus Christ. He wants him to value who Jesus is and to constantly have him upon his mind. Remember Jesus Christ. Warren Wisby has said something concerning remembering. He says, remember Jesus sounds almost like a war cry. Like, remember the Alamo. I'm pretty sure you know what Alamo is. I had to Google, you know. This was strange to me, so I needed to understand. What is this man talking about? Oh, remember Pearl Harbor. So he says, Jesus is the captain of our soul, Hebrews 2:10. And our purpose is to bring honor and glory to him. What an encouragement Jesus Christ is to a suffering Christian soldier. For he died and rose again, proving that suffering leads to glory and that seeming defeat leads to victory. So Jesus was treated as an evildoer, and his soldier will be treated in the same way. But undergirding the principle, remember Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus tops, in fact, because Alamo, I believe that is historical thing that happened. Christ should be on top of all other historical dates that matter in our lives. Remember Jesus Christ. Now, remembering Jesus does not mean we just have to remember his resurrection or anything about Christ that happened in the past and leave it there. But rather, we have to look at it as if it just happened yesterday with the fresh impact of it. Jesus is not just a historical figure. He is God and he is Lord even today. Remember Jesus Christ for who he is. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Someone said when we are threatened by fear, when we are threatened by doubts, We are depressed. We ought not to forget who Jesus is. Remember Jesus Christ. This calls for an engagement of your mind, of your heart, of your soul. Total devotion to not forget Jesus. To not forget Jesus. You are to constantly recall who this Jesus is. You have to constantly call to mind, recollect, think about, look back concerning Jesus. We may read books, watch shows, but Christ should be someone we always remember. Someone we always remember. This morning during Sunday school, something was talked about. We all talk about something that we value, something that we love. Christ should be the only thing that we love, we talk about, we meditate on, we share with other people because we value Him so much. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Even if your mind begins to get all cloudy, your sight begins to get all blurry, never forget Jesus Christ. Be mindful of who He is. Never neglect nor overlook. So this pronounced command is that remember Him at all times. Never let a minute or a second of every day pass by without engaging your mind, your heart, your soul in reflection of who this Jesus is. Because you were created for His glory. And we have to always live our lives for His glory. The pronounced command. Secondly, the person of Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ. What is it that we need to remember concerning Jesus Christ? Because He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David. Remember Jesus Christ. Well, one thing we need to remember firstly is that Jesus was fully God. Remember Jesus Christ as fully God because of these words, risen from the dead. But we also need to remember Jesus as fully man because of the following words, descendant of David. So allow me to briefly talk about those ideas. Christ as fully God. Now, we know that Jesus is God because He's the Word made flesh. And that has been talked about severally behind this pulpit. But if Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, it does not matter how many times we've heard those words, I will repeat them. Because we need to remember who He is. We need to remember who He is. Christ is God. Christ existed before He was even born in Bethlehem. Christ existed before the creation of Bethlehem itself. So, we need to remember Jesus that His existence did not begin when He was conceived in Mary's womb. Or when He was born on a material day. But that Jesus had been there before time began. Remember Jesus Christ for who He is. Because this will cause us to appreciate how valuable Jesus is. And how that our mind should at all times be engaged on this precious Savior we have, Jesus Christ. That this Jesus, the incarnate God, the Son of God, who was in intimate union with his Father. He was there before time began. He possessed his own personal glory. He was so perfect in the way he was. He was in an intimate relationship with his own God, his own Father. In John 1:18, it says he was in the bosom of his Father. This is who Jesus is. But with respect to this section, what can we remember concerning him? That this Jesus was rather possessed this eternal pleasure and comfort and joy of his Father. He had the eternal pleasure, comfort and joy of his Father. In other words, he lacked nothing. He desired nothing. He was not over-worshipped or under-worshipped. He was sufficient with all the worship that he received from the heavenly hosts. Who understood what it meant when they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty"? Who understood when they beheld the Son and his glory? He was the reflection as the glory of the Father. There was no distinction between God the Father and God the Son. And there was this beautiful enjoyment of comfort. He was eternally adored. He had this affection toward his Father. He was comfortable. He lacked nothing. He desired nothing. He was eternally loved by his Father. He was adored. No trials, no temptations. Where was with his Father? Nothing. Christ possessed all the excellencies known to God the Father. All the glory that is in the Father was and is still in the Son. He had equal glory. He shared the glory. He was united with his Father. John chapter 17 and verse 5. That's always to go to text where Jesus pronounces that the Father would glorify him together with the glory that he shared with his Father before the world began. That's Jesus. He lacked nothing. Jesus, in the third place, had unrivaled prominence. No one challenged him. No one challenged him. There was no rival with regard to the authority. He was above all and adored by all. He was not subject to any infirmities, any weakness, any limit. He possessed all the excellencies of holiness, goodness, love, power, wisdom, and the list can go on and on and on. He existed. Now, when we read these words, "Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead," looks like the Apostle Paul's focus is his resurrection from the dead. His resurrection from the dead. So, for him to have come on earth and putting on the flesh of man, he was still God. This is the focus of the Apostle Paul's argument. I took us on a ride in the eternity past. But the Apostle Paul is looking at Jesus as he was here on earth. He was 100% God, or fully God. Fully God. With two natures. Eh? Reason. Now, to be raised is the word which conveys a sort of being awakened. And obviously, from the dead according to the text. It is the word which also can mean to be awakened from sleep or from slumber. As Jesus did use the same language in John 11 and verse 11 down to verse 14 with regards Lazarus. That our friend has fallen asleep. So being raised from the sleep. Now, the word reason, or the verb reason, it's a perfect verb. It is the word which signify an action we took many years ago, but the impact and the effect of it is still living. The Lord Jesus was raised over 2,000 years ago. And he's still living. That's the direct rendering. He is a glorified God, and he's still living. Never to die again. Reason is a word which conveys the thought of resuming a permanent condition of being raised. The Lord Jesus Christ will not be subjected to death again. He died and he rose, never to die again. From the dead. So he's no longer living or having his remains among the dead people, the corpses. He's no longer there. He rose from the dead. The fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, it confirms how authentic his claims were that he was God. It confirmed that truly death could not hold him. It confirms that the Lord God could not subject his remains to decay. It confirms that he had power over death. Raised from the dead. But it implies also for him to have been raised from the dead that he had to die in order for him to be raised. And what did he accomplish by him dying and being raised from the dead? Reconciliation. He accomplished atonement. He accomplished satisfaction of God's wrath. He accomplished procurement of peace on behalf of fallen men. What did he do? He obtained redemption for sinners like yourself and myself. The Lord Jesus, he was raised from the dead. And only God can satisfy God. And only God can redeem the sinners. And this is what we find the Lord Jesus Christ doing. When he obtained salvation, or rather redemption for us, we were redeemed from the power of sin. We were redeemed from the power of the devil himself, from the law and its curses. Only God can do that. In our confession, in chapter 8 and paragraph 4 and 5, I'll try to scantily read, but because we have his passive obedience and his active obedience in accomplishing redemption on our behalf. Even when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. This is what paragraph 4 says. This office the Lord Jesus did most willingly undertake, that's a passive obedience, which that he might discharge. He was made under the law and did perfectly fulfill it, and under it went the permission due to us, which we should have borne and suffered, being made sin and a curse for us, enduring most grievous sorrow in his soul and most painful suffering in his body, was crucified and died and remained in the state of the dead, yet saw no corruption. On the third day he rose from the dead with the same body in which he suffered, with which he also ascended into heaven, and there sitteth at the right hand of his Father, making intercession, and shall return to judge men and angels at the end of the world. And just that statement is packed with everything Jesus did. Everything. He took our place that we would take our place. In other words, and he redeemed us. In paragraph 5, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his perfect obedience and sacrifice of himself, which he through the eternal Spirit once offered up unto God, has fully satisfied the justice of God, procured reconciliation, and purchased an everlasting inheritance in the kingdom of heaven for all those whom the Father has given unto him. He has procured. Only God can do that. Jesus is not a mere man. He was and is God. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God and is interceding. And he will return. There is no doubt in that statement. He will return. He's coming back. So the crucifixion of Christ was not a delusion. His death, his resurrection, his side which was pierced, all those are actual things that happened sometime in history. And yet the effect of them still lives on. The Lord was raised from the dead and is right now seated at the right hand of God the Father. What is the significance of his resurrection? It gave proof to the sovereignty that he possessed over life and death. Only Christ, or only God can do that. Resurrection of Jesus Christ authenticated all of his claims that he indeed was God, the Son of God. His resurrection also proves how sinless he was and how divine he was. There was no sin in him. He indeed was God. The interesting thing is when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he later on died. But when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, never to die again. His resurrection is a guarantee to all of us who believe. This is where our hope is. We shall one day be raised back to life after the manner of Christ. After the manner of Christ. The way Jesus went to the tomb, we shall go to the tomb. But the way he rose up, we shall also rise up. We shall have life. Because our lives are hidden in him. He is our first fruit. The faith fruit of those who have fallen asleep, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. His resurrection ascertains the pending victory over death. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? When the Apostle Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, he's urging Timothy to remember Christ as God. Not just as a mere man. This is who Jesus was and still is, and this is what Jesus accomplished. But at the same time, he says, remember Jesus Christ as a descendant of David. Now, in this section, he's basically saying that there is the human nature that is so apparent and real in Jesus. He is identified, he has identified himself with us. He's able to sympathize with us. He knows our frailties, our weaknesses, everything that defines what man is. Jesus became, yet without sin. Yet without sin. This Lord Jesus was conceived. He was born. He put on the flesh of man. He was circumcised. He increased in wisdom and in stature. He wept, he hungered, he thirsted. He became weary. In other words, everything that defines what man is was in Jesus. Yet, without sin. What Paul is reminding Timothy of is that we have this high priest who is able to sympathize with us because he was like us in every way. In every way. That in the time of uncertainty, in the times of fear, when you feel timid, when you are afraid or when you suffer in any way, you can go to Christ who intercedes on your behalf because he understands you. He has experienced the pains that you are experiencing. He has experienced the same disappointments that you are experiencing. He has experienced denial, betrayal. Go to him. Remember Jesus Christ in every perfect way that defines what man is, Jesus was. Go to him. Go to him. Remember Jesus Christ. In his humanity, our Lord Jesus not only identified with us, but he became and still is our hope. He is our hope. So Paul is urging Timothy that he has to remember Jesus Christ. He can forget about everything else, but never forget the person of Christ. Because when he became man, he procured his salvation and he sustained him to the very end. Scripture says, all whom the Father has given to me shall come to me, and whoever comes to me, I shall by no means cast him out. The Lord Jesus knows what it feels like to feel like you are abandoned by God. Because he cried, my Father, why have you forsaken me? He knows all the pains that we go through, brethren. But at times we want to fix things like it was yesterday. But we need to look to Christ. How did he endure all things to the very end? Well, remembering him means we need to look to Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, obviously suffered the cross, but ultimately there was the glory that awaited for him. Remember Jesus Christ. But in the last place, and I'll do this really quickly, the Apostle Paul brings in the idea of the gospel, the profundity of the gospel. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. And he carries on talking about his suffering, hardship concerning the gospel, that is in prison being treated like a criminal. I says, for this reason, he endures all things for the sake of those that are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. So the bottom line to all of this is the gospel. Paul would have so easily said, remember the gospel. Because the gospel is the definition of who Jesus is. But the Apostle Paul uses a very unique possessive pronoun here, my gospel. It does not mean that this was his gospel by nature and making, but rather it was his gospel because he possessed it and the gospel possessed him. He spoke of the gospel all his life. In Romans 1:16, what does it say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed. Call me names. I will not turn my back on the gospel. That is saying according to my gospel. This is the word which is proclaimed. And the word whose content is the person of Christ and all the performances of Christ. He is God and man. This man who died on the cross so as to save other men and bring many sons to glory. And these men for whom he died were not worthy to be died for, but he did. So that he could save some. So this gospel can also actually be talked of in multiple ways. It can be the gospel of the kingdom because it points to the kingdom of heaven. In other sections of the scriptures, we find that it's the gospel of God. It is the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the Son of God, the gospel of the glory of Christ, the gospel of your salvation. The Apostle Paul is not preaching any different gospel. This is the gospel whose content is Christ. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Call to memory who this Jesus is. And never ever forget that. I know that I'm speaking to the congregation that know who Jesus is. But there will come a time when your memory begins to fail you. When you no longer be able to read the scriptures because your sight is failing you. When you no longer be able to hear when people speak to you, you can't have someone to read the text of scripture to you. But now is the time to realize who this Jesus really is to you. embrace Him and continue embracing Him. Remember His words. Let them sink deep in your hearts. Confess like the psalmist. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Have the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Colossians 3:16. Let the reality of Jesus sink in and be settled within your soul. If at some point you've doubted who you are in relation to Christ, make that clear. If He's not yet your Savior, let Him be your Savior. If He is your Savior, embrace Him, love Him, serve Him. Be ready to spend and be spent for His glory, regardless how many days or weeks or months or years there remain for you to be living. Serve Him. But in your service to Him, remember Him. When your health is failing you, remember Him. When you are growing so weak, remember Him. When you begin to forget things, remember Him. Let Him be at the center of your heart at all times. Never forget who Jesus is. He is God, but He identified Himself with us as man, so that our souls can be rescued, can be saved. And in His hands we are committed by His Father. And He embraces us to the very end. Remember Jesus Christ. And live for Him. Treasure Him. The other Lord's Day I had gone to one of the nursing homes. This is the word I gave to the ailing women and men. They are in assisted living. Remember Jesus. And I want to leave this word with us, dear ones. Remember Jesus. Don't grow tired of reading and studying Christ. Don't feel that you have arrived, you know everything about Jesus, because you don't. Every time you think and feel that you know, you realize you don't know. And that is a good thing. And pursue Him. And continue on pursuing Him. Remember Jesus Christ. May the good Lord add a blessing to the preaching of His word this morning. Shall we pray together?